Okay, so first of all, today's shiur is sponsored by Jackie Feigenbaum and his family, Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Yisachar, Jackie's son, whose yard site is Shabbos, is tomorrow, the 13th of Iyar. Anybody who knew him was moved by him. He basically made anybody he met, happier. And it's his chus for me to actually be able to give a shiur le'ilu nishmaso. Today's shiur is also sponsored by Esther and Jackie Schlanger, le'ilu nishmas Esther's mother, Sarah Niederberg, Sarah Mendel bas Avram Yecheskel, whose yard site is actually today, the 12th of Iyar. Okay, our learning should have an aliyah for all their neshamos. Okay, I'll admit up front, sometimes you have a great idea for a shiur and then you're not sure if it's going to work out. It is a great idea. Okay, no one has to see me. Okay, it is a good idea for a shiur, and because I'm intimidated by Grandpa Josh, it works both for MR and Bahar, so there shouldn't be any complaining about, favoritism towards Israelis. Jackie, of course, is going to have to find one of these bizarre minyanim to lay in two parshios this week. All right, they're
I'm still
all
behind from I'm still behind from COVID.
Okay. All right. Which is just a good proof how there's really no need to catch up. But okay, people do it because they're from. All right, let's start with the pasuk in this week's parsha. In Bahar, it starts from a pasuk in Bahar, but then it spreads out. Let me see if I can find it quickly in notes. Now here we go. Ooh, I didn't fix it. Okay, sorry. It'll all be good. Here's the pasuk. V'chiyamuch achicha I. Okay, it's interesting. The context of the psukim is mamanos, it's your friend needs money. The limud is nefashos. All right, don't take interest when you lend him money. You should fear God. Presumably, v'chei achicha imach in this context means, if you charge him interest, it builds up and it'll undermine his financial stability. You want him to be successful. You are helping him for the purpose of his success. Therefore, don't charge interest. But if you take those three words, v'chei chaimach, out of context, it can be applicable to, one of the most interesting philosophic or ethical discussions that exist. And it's all one Gemara in Bava Metzia. If you don't know the Gemara inside, you've certainly heard it before. Source number two, Samach Bet Amud Aleph, Shnayim Shahol Shahayu Mahalchin Baderech, two people walking in the desert. Uviyad Echad Mehem Kiton Shalmayim. One of them has a canteen. Here are the facts. By the way, no arguing on the facts. The Gemara gives us the facts. Im shotim shnehem, if they both share the canteen and both drink it, meitim, they're both going to die. V'im shote echad mehem, magia li yishuv. But if one of them drinks the entire canteen, he will make it to civilization, he will live, and his friend will not. Here comes the machlokas. One of the most famous machlokas, Tanaim, Darash ben Petura. He said, mutav sheyishtu shnehem v'yamusu. Better that both share the canteen and they both die. Rather than one of them seeing his friend die. Now, it's a little hard to defend Ben Petura's position, like it's so usher to see somebody die. I suspect one way of reading is that the one shouldn't even indirectly caused the death of his friend, but it's hard to know. But again, Ben Petura says what I think is not what most of us would say. If we were sitting around a table, I'd ask people to raise their hands. My guess is that most people would not paskin like Ben Petura, where he's condemning both to death, but rather would paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Ad Shabo Rabbi Akiva Vili made, bottom line in two, our pasuk v'chei achicha imach, Chayecha kodmim lechaye chavercha. No, your life comes first. There is, when you use the word selfish, it obviously sounds negative. Self-interest sounds less negative. But Rabbi Akiva says, presumably, you know, my first obligation is to myself. I suppose, in addition, Rabbi Akiva may say, I can't agree with an outcome in which both of them die, right? My obligation is to save someone's life. So there's two possibilities. I say the person who has the water should drink all of the water, and at least he'll live. Okay, there's a big discussion in Achronim, like the basic Chakira. Is Rabbi Akiva's limud to teach from the Pasuk that Ben Petura is wrong, meaning Ben Petura said, you have to share both. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, v'chei achicha imach. Okay? You know, you have to share. Because v'chei achicha imach, he has to live with you. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha. So if only one is going to drink, and chayecha kodmim lechayecha vercha, your life comes first, so you keep the water. Or is it, the Rabbi Akiva says, misvara, it's obvious that you can't let both die. One of them has to survive. Now the question is, who survives? So Rabbi Akiva says, I make a drasha from the pasuk v'chei achicha imach, chayecha kodmim lechayecha vercha. Your life comes first. Now, everything about this machlokas is difficult, including the limud. V'chei achicha imach, if you asked me, sounds like you both should live together. V'chei achicha imach. I want you to live together with him. You both should survive. Now, it could be in this case, that's simply not an option. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece on this where he says, the facts cannot be as clear as the Gemara lets on. Why? He says, because it's not a miracle that you're walking in a desert and all of a sudden you stumble upon water. It could happen. So it's true, the Gemara lays out, you know, it's sort of a black and white case, in which either if you share the water, both die. If one of you drinks the water, you that person lives, the other person doesn't. Rav Asher says, okay, but the facts can't be as black and white as that. Okay. Nevertheless, again, I keep thinking that Rabbi Akiva Sfara has to be the right Sfara, that if we value human life above almost everything else in halacha, well, if I have a choice between saving a life and sacrificing a life, I'm going to save a life. That's my sense. How he learns it from v'chei achicha imach, which again is a famous drasha, chayecha kodmim lechayecha vercha, it's not obvious to me. Okay, how do we paskin? Everybody assumes we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. Everybody assumes we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. My guess is that there's two reasons why that may be. One, in Klalei Hapsak, generally speaking, we say in a machlokes, right? Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavei ro, but not mechavei rav. When Rabbi Akiva has a machlokes with one other Tana, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So here he has a machlokes with one other Tana. That Tana is Ben Petura. Okay, so we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But I think probably the reason why everybody assumes that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva is because that's what the Gemara seems to say, right? The lashon of the Gemara is, Ben Petura says they both have to die. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva v'limeid. And then Rabbi Akiva showed up and corrected him based on a pasuk of v'chei achicha imach, right? It's like in the Haggadah. Ben Zoma says, I didn't know you have to say Shema. Ad Sheba Ben Zoma, right? So that lashon of Ad Sheba sounds like the Gemara itself is confirming that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that's the beginning. Now, the question is, V'chei Achicha Imach, how does that teach us that you live and he dies, that you get all of the water? Worse is that there's another example of the word imach being used, and we paskin the opposite. Look at source number three.
Eli, before you move on to that, couldn't we also say that going connected Rabbi Akiva, the famous statement of mi yemed the damach suma as the dach sumach
I'll get there. You know, I don't. it's a good argument, and I promise to get there because I think it's important. I don't see it in the Gemara. You know, I would like to say, you know, if we're going to pass like Rabbi Akiva because of a reason, so Rabbi Akiva should say that reason. But okay, you know, I would have said Rabbi Akiva says, kamocha. You know, how could you kill somebody else? But again, that's not the drasha. Okay. The pasuk in the middle of Dvarim says in source number 3, Vayaki omar elecha lo etzei me'imach. Right? The Eved Ivri says, it could be in this week's parasha also. The Eved Ivri says, I know it's Shemitah. I know I'm supposed to go free, but I love it here. Ki tov lo imach. What does the word imach mean? So the Gemara in Kiddushin Chaf Amar Aleph at source number 4 says, Titania, ki tov lo imach, imach b'ma'achal v'imach b'mishteh. Shelo tehe ata ochel pat nikiyav hu ochel pat kibor. This is the famous halacha that when you have an Eved Kenani, you have to treat the Eved Kenani as a co-equal. Whatever you eat, he gets to eat. You know, wherever you sleep, he gets to sleep. Whatever bread you eat, he gets to eat. Ata shote yain yashan vahu shote yain chadash. No, he gets old wine as well. Ata yoshen al gabe mukim vahu yoshen al gabe ateven. You sleep on a beautiful bed. He sleeps on straw. No. Mikan Amru says the Gemara kol akone eved ivri ke kone adon la'atzmo. So everybody asks, I don't get it. Rabbi Akiva says, v'chei achicha imach, you come first. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, ki tov lo imach, that's the makar for treating an eved as a co-equal. Meaning nobody comes first. So Achronim want to know, and a lot of people discuss this, what's going on, right? What's the difference in the drasha? Why in one place is imach, you come first, and in another place, imach is you are equals. So a bunch of people say, it's hard to say exactly who, but it's out there, is that it depends. In the case of an Eved Ivri, it's possible to share. And presumably, lechatchila, the Torah wants us to share. So when you're talking about mamonos, let's say you have only one pillow. Okay, so Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, you get the pillow. You know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, he gets the pillow. But it's doable. And maybe what it teaches us is that whenever possible, imach really means sharing. But the Gemara, our Gemara, doesn't give us that choice. Our Gemara says, if you share, one of you dies. And so it could be, yeah, imach literally means you share. But Rabbi Akiva says that's what the Torah wants. But when that leads to the death of somebody, the unnecessary death of somebody, then imach means chayecha kod min lechayecha bercha. Right? Rabbi Akiva doesn't say your money comes first. He says your life comes first, which again, I think is intuitive to most of us. If human life is of ultimate value, then my life is of ultimate value and it can't be outweighed by somebody else.
Ellie, okay. Is Rabbi Kiva saying it's asur or it's a hadracha? Because history, you know, has shown that we elevate those people of self-sacrifice in our modern times of, you know, in Israel, in historical times for the Holocaust and going back, you know, millennium, that people who sacrificed their own life for Klal Yisrael, you know, from...
Yeah, but you have to be... The sacrifice has to lead to somebody's life being saved. According to Ben Petura, my sacrifice doesn't do anything. Now, it's not true. The Chazon Ish says, my sacrifice gives me Chayesha. It's clear that if you and I drink the water, we'll both live longer. But we're both going to die. So I don't know that it's fair to say, obviously, people who sacrifice their lives to save other people are thought of as heroes. But here, there's no opportunity. You know, the Gemara doesn't give us a choice. There's no opportunity to save other people. The fact is, if you share the water, you're both going to die. So I think that's why this case is harder, but simpler. There is no option of, you know, being heroic. Being heroic means saving somebody's life, okay? You know, look, if somebody's drowning and you jump in and you know you don't know how to swim, going back to last week's shiur, and you both die. So on the one hand, I suppose I really respect you for jumping in. On the other hand, you know, if you look at it honestly, what was gained? Okay. Let's move on to Jackie's point, which is, where does all this come from? Right, we're sort of doing it out of order. We're assuming, you know, the ultimate value of human life. And then we're asking this deep philosophic question, or the Gemara is asking this deep philosophic question, which is, you know, what do you do in a situation where you could save your life, but it'll cost somebody else their life, and otherwise you're both going to die? So the ultimate value of human life is in a pasuk in Emor. No, Kedoshim. Source number 5. Ushmartem et chukotai vet mishpatai asher ya'aseh otam ha'adam v'chai bohem ani Hashem. Right? V'chai bohem, the Torah was given to live by and not to die by. That's why the general rule is, whenever you're faced with a choice of violating the Torah or sacrificing your life, we invoke the rule of v'chai bohem. The Torah was given to live by, and therefore you violate the Torah to save your life, right? Simply put, in a case of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, right? Chalel Shabbat achat, kidei sheyishmor Shabbatot harbei. We're always going to violate the Torah in order to save a life, except, of course, for the big three. And that's the next Gemara. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, source number 6. It's interesting for a number of reasons. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. Nimnu v'gamru ba'aliyat beit Nitza b'lud. Nitza was the name of a guy, and he had an attic. And I suppose, you know, Tanoim were sitting around in the attic, and he lived in Lud. And they decided as follows. Kol aveirot shabbat Torah, im omrim la'adam avor va'al tehoreg, ya'avor va'al yehoreg. For all Averos in the Torah, somebody puts a gun to your head and says, eat this cheeseburger or I'm going to kill you. The answer is eat the cheeseburger, because v'chai bohem, except for the big three. Chutz me avodah zara v'gilui arayot u'shfichut damim. Okay, avodah zara, murder and sexual immorality. Then the Gemara has a whole discussion what the sources are. But now we get to the point we need. The Gemara has a pasuk for Avodah Zarah that says, Rotzeach gufei minala. How do you know that you're not allowed to kill another person when your life is on the line? Again, somebody puts a gun to your head and says, kill Reuven or I'm going to kill you. The din is you have to allow yourself to be killed. What's the proof? Says the Gemara, Svarahu. It's a Svara. Why? Dehahu da'asu l'kamei d'rabba. Because it happened to Rabba v'om ralei. Omale mare durai zil katle leplanya. You know, the governor came to me and said, kill this person. Ve'ilo katlina lach. If not, I will kill you. Omale liktluch velo tiktel. Allow yourself to be killed and do not kill another person. Why? Mi yemar didama dimak didach sumak tfe. Who says literally, your blood is redder? Dilma dama dahu gavra sumak tfe. Maybe his blood is redder. Okay, more or less, what it means is, how do you know that your life is more valuable than his life? Therefore, sheva altasa adif. If you kill him, it will be murder. Therefore, says the Gemara, since you don't know that your life is more valuable than his, you have to sit quietly. And if they kill you for it, that's what the halacha wants. So again, here you see that it's impossible to value lives, right? You know, the question that always comes to mind when you see this gemara is, well, you know, what if one guy's a gadol hador and the other guy's a criminal? Nevertheless, the gemara says, you know, it would be murder to kill another person. As a result, you have to allow yourself to be killed. Now, Rashi has a good explanation of the Gemara. Rashi in source number 7 says, Svarahu, shelo tidcha nefesh chaveiro, di'ikatarti. He says, if you kill your friend, there are two things going on. One, ibud neshama, he has lost his life. Two, aveira mipnei nafsho. I'm sorry, va'avera, and you killed him, meaning that's an avera plus the loss of life. Okay, but in a case where you're not going to kill him, deleka elachad ibud neshama v'hu lo yavor. But in a case where you're not killing the other person, and it's just a question of whose life comes first, dechi amar rachmana la'avor la'mitzvot mishum v'chay bohem mishum diyikra be'enav neshama shel Yisrael. It's true. The Torah says violate the Torah because the life of a Jew is of infinite value. V'hacha gabe rotzeach. Kevon de sof sof ika ibud neshama lama yehe mutar la'avor. Mi yodea shenafsho chaviva liyotzro yoter mi nefesh chaviro. Hilkach. Dvar hamakom lo nitan litchot. The Torah says you're not allowed to murder. Okay? Somebody else tells you, I'm going to kill you if you don't murder. So Rashi says, well, if you murder, you did an avera, and there's a loss of life. Better that there be a loss of life without an avera. And that means you having to sacrifice your own life. Okay, clear?
No, because two questions. There are lots of averas that we're allowed to do. This is just one in order to
correct. Prevent. But right? You're asking yourself, here the facts are as follows. There's going to be a loss of life. So Rashi says what the Gemara is saying is, if there's going to be a loss of life, it's best that that life be lost not through an avera, right? If this guy who puts a gun to my head shoots me, it's true, I'll be dead, but I will not have committed an avera. If I shoot you, because otherwise he'll shoot me, you'll be dead, mm-hmm. and I'll have committed an avera.
Okay.
And Rashi's just saying there's a calculus of we want to save a life, right. and we want to minimize averos.
And what life, if I kill him?
The life that we're talking about, I'm sorry, Debbie, the life we're talking about when we're worried about killing someone, does that apply to all people or Jews?
I assume Jews, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's also to kill a guy, but I don't know if in this calculus, right, I'm being honest with you, even though I'm going to offend you. When the Gemara says, how do you know your blood is redder than somebody else's blood? It's possible what the Gemara said was, with respect to Jews and Gentiles, I know your blood is redder. With mm-hmm. respect to Jews, I don't know. It's possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Debbie, you wanted to say something?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. And what if you kill him, the person who is threatening you?
I think that's completely mutter. Just the facts seem to be it's not possible. But and there's no question, that guy's a rodev.
Right.
In fact, we'll get to that in a second. I think not only is it mutter, it's a mitzvah to kill that.
That's the best scenario.
Jew or Gentile.
Yeah.
It's an absolute mitzvah to kill the guy. He's a din of a rodev. There's no question about it.
Elliot, in the case of the water, if you give the other guy the whole canteen, sacrifice yourself, is that us or is that what Robert Q said?
I think that's what Henry was asking.
Yeah.
Right? To me, you know, maybe that's heroic because you're saving you're sacrificing your life to save his life. It's hard to imagine that Rabbi Akiva said that it's usher to do that. I think Rabbi Akiva said he thinks it's appropriate for a person, you know, to keep the water for himself. But as we'll discuss in a few minutes, maybe that's why. It's interesting. Everybody knows that the halach is like Rabbi Akiva, but the Rambam doesn't paskin it. I mean, he doesn't paskin at all. Between Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva, it's just not there. It could be that that's the answer. The answer is the Rambam sees it as advice, or the Rambam sees it as a heter. The problem is when you describe something as a heter, you're basically saying, I probably shouldn't do it, but I got a heter, which I don't think Rabbi Akiva is saying. Again, Rabbi Akiva is, you know, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. He's not just any Tana. And Rabbi Akiva says that the correct thing to do is to save your life. Now, just as an aside, I'll point this out. The ahavta l'recha kamocha only works if your life is of ultimate value. Because if your life is not of ultimate value, then, you know, what's the point of saying, you know, treat your friend the way you would treat yourself? You treat yourself poorly. You walk around trying to sacrifice your life for other people. I think for v'ahavt l'recha kamocha to work the way we understand it, it's premised on my life is the most valuable thing in the world. It's said in a strange way. V'ahavt l'recha kamocha is the most, what's an English word for this? The most utility, the most beinon l'chaver halacha we have. But it's based on a selfish principle that my life is the most valuable life in the world. Only then can I treat you with ultimate respect, because I treat myself with ultimate respect. That's my thought. It could be wrong, but I like it. Okay.
Well, it also justifies the psychological damage that could occur if one actually does let your friend die. You know, you keep the water, he dies. Nobody's addressing the long-term psychological effects here of you letting your friend die. But that
I agree with you that nobody's addressing the long-term psychological effect. Again, I don't think it's fair to say you let your friend die. You're saving yourself. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
I don't know. Now, just very quick, let's look at Tosos. Tosos is something interesting. It's source number 8. Vahadalo parechacha. Here, Tosos is talking about a Gemara that discusses the question of how did Esther Hamalka allow herself to sleep with Ahasuerus? Right? Isn't that one of the big three? So the Gemara, that would really put a damper on the whole Purim story, right? So the Gemara there says, Esther Karka Olam. She was completely passive. So therefore it was mutter for her. Ask the Gemara, ask Tosus, V'hadalo parachacha, but Esther Arayo Savai, the Kumle, the Mahani, Taimo, the Karka Olam, the Inyan, the Lo, Mechaiv, Limsar, Atzma, Misham Arayos. Dame Rotseach Yalfinan. Now, because we learn Arias from Rotseach. The Rotseach Gufe, ki mechayev limsar atzmo, he says, in a case of Shvichus Damim, the reason why you have to give up your life and not kill another person, hani nili kodem sheyehareg biyadayim. That's because you're being forced to murder. Aval hecha delo avid maisa. But Tosa says, if the way they would cause a death does not involve an action on your part. For example, kigon shemashlichin oto alatinoku mitmaech. Okay, they threaten to throw him on an infant and crush the infant. Now he's completely passive in this case. Nobody would claim that that's murder. So Tosu says mistabra she'ein chayav limsor atzmo. It seems to me, says Tosu, that in that case, he doesn't have to give up his life. Somebody comes and says, I'm going to tie you up and throw you on a baby. And if you don't let me, then I'm going to kill you. Tosa says, that's not Yahar Gval Yavon, because that's not murder. You're being passive. Mistaba she'en chayv limsor atzmo. D'matzi amar adirabo. The same svar could be used in reverse. Mai chazis d'dama d'chavroi sumak tfei. Who says the baby's blood is more valuable than mine? Dilma dama didi sumak tvei kevin de lov in maisa. I'm not murdering him. It's true. By my passivity, you know, I'm involved in the death of a baby. But nobody would call it murder.
Ellie, you don't find this troubling in making that, you know, analogy and comparison?
So first of all, it's Tosfos. So, you know, I don't be so quick to call Tosus Shita troubling. But I think it works very nicely, halachically. What did Rashi say? Rashi explained in the Gemara, why is it that if he's going to shoot you, you're not allowed to shoot the other guy? So Rashi says, because somebody's going to die. And on top of that, somebody's committing an Aveira. But in this case, Tosus says, nobody's committing an Aveira. The murderer, quote unquote, is completely passive. He's not doing anything.
Ellie, take the analogy. If someone says to you, you have to be moser on another Jew, and then we're going to let you go free. That would be usur. Moser on moser being that you would have to what to
work. Thanks, Henry. I know what it means.
No, I'm fair bias. You know to.
But yeah, but I think you're wrong.
Mine's a question, not a statement.
So I think what it comes down to is that you're being completely passive. Okay? You're not murdering another person. Therefore, and your life is on the line. Therefore, again, Henry, I respect the fact that you live in a world of heroes. You know, let's be clear.
No, in all seriousness, an issue of Mesira.
That's not a good example. It's not Yahar Val Yavar. I assume that if somebody puts a gun to my head and asks me, you know, to share all kinds of, you know, legal violations that I'm aware that you did, Henry. I want to be clear to everybody. I'm not aware of any. I'm not saying Henry never did. I'm just saying I'm not aware of any. Yeah, I think I'd give you up in a second.
So, Ellie, this is Joel. So what if the person who is threatened that they will be killed if they don't kill the other person, and they happen to know that the other person is a treifa? Let's say they only have 6 months to live. What is that Yare Val Yavor?
I don't think it works with human beings because we generally don't know these things. You know, I think it would still be Yare Val Yavor because the idea that we know, you know,
no, if he's
the case
a doctor,
would be better. The case would be better if the other person says in the desert, you know what? I have a terminal disease. Don't feel bad. Drink all the water. Right? That would get rid of Lenny's problem also. And I don't have to feel bad because this person was about to die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's not a fair decision. But from what I understand halachically, you know, we don't go around guessing about how long a person lives. Again, the same thing. You're 80 years old, okay? And you're walking with a 5-year-old. I could do the math. He has a lot longer to live than you do. It seems to me that we just don't enter into these kinds of discussions. That human lives, the Gemara says, "Mi yeimar d'dama didach sumak tfei," all human lives are equal. I think that's what the Gemara is saying, and we don't get into discussions. Okay, now, the Minchas Chinuch on this mitzvah, talking about the issue of Rodef, has a really important piece, which I'll do if we don't get into a huge fight. I understand that in America, this has become a big issue. And so I'm going to share this Minchas Chinuch with you. But if we're not getting off the topic.
Okay, are you asking me to get off, in other words?
No, I'm telling everybody that I'm not taking any questions for the next 5 minutes. Okay, here we go. Says the Minchas Chinuch, it's fantastic. Ani mistapek. He says, I have a safek. Tihine mevor b'sanhedrin sham, da'af katan harodev, nitan lahatzilo b'nafsho. Okay, even if the rodev is a katan, you can kill him. Umaksha hashas mi mishna da'ahalos. And the Gemara asks the question from a Mishnah in Alos. De'isha shahaisa maksha lele. A woman was life-threatening pregnancy. Poshetet et yada. The doctor can stick his hand in, or she can do it. V'chotechet oto le'evarim. Le'hatzilet ha'isha. Okay, that's what we call an abortion. Let's continue. Now you see why we're not going to discuss. Okay. Yatsa rosho, but if the infant's head comes out of the mother, ain no gimbo, you can no longer do anything to the baby. Mipnei she'ein dochin nefesh, mipnei nefesh. Because at that moment, the embryo, whatever word you're going to call the unborn baby, becomes a living human being. And the point we keep seeing is we do not judge amongst living human beings. Okay, so if the doctor's fast enough, he can abort. But once the baby sticks his or her head out, at this point, we don't choose. And even if it's going to cost the mother her life, God forbid, we don't choose because it would be murder. Why is that the case? Isn't the baby, the infant, a rodev? Right, because he's putting his mother's life at risk. No, it's not true. Right, all of us have the same feeling. It seems unfair to call an unborn infant a rodev. It's the way of the world. I assume if you asked him when he grows up, he'd rather have met his mother than have killed her. you know, in labor. So the Gemara says, yeah, technically he's a rodef, but strange thing, mishamayim karat fila. It's not really him. Ve'im kein lo have a rodef. He's not really a rodef. Va'asur lahatzil nefesh im nefesh acher. And you can't kill one human being to save another one's lives. Ki shindalid shvichas damim eino nidche. Right? That's the din that we saw in the Gemara. How do you know that your life is more valuable than his life? Or how do you know that his life is more valuable than your life? Ubereisha hatam dekol ze shlo yatza rosho lo have nefesh. The reason why when he's in utero, you can abort him is because, unlike, you know, the church's position, what's it called? An embryo?
A fetus.
Fetus.
Okay, you can see, I'm not into this stuff. Because a fetus is not a human being in halacha. And killing a fetus is not murder. Okay? V'im kein lo have a rodef. V'asu latzil nefesh im nefesh acher. You can abort him to save the mother. This is why it's so nuanced in halacha. It's asur to abort. It's just the values weigh in favor of a human life, right? The key points here are, says the Menchas Chinuch, and this is how we paskin. Abortion is not murder. Abortion is usur, but it's not murder. And since it's not murder, v'chai bohem v'lo sheyamus bohem. If you could save the mother's life by aborting, you're supposed to do that. Okay? But the second that he sticks his head out, at that moment, he becomes a nefesh. He becomes a full-fledged human being. And you're not allowed to choose the mother's life over the life of the fetus. I guess he's not a fetus anymore. Now he's an infant. Okay? So that is sort of a summary, a thumbnail sketch.
Thumbnail.
Thank you. Thumbnail sketch of the halachos of abortion and how impactful they are, or how much of the abortion discussion comes from our discussion. That we don't value human lives, okay? A human life, the life of the mother, is of infinite value. The life of a fetus is not, because a fetus is not a human being. Therefore, like any other halacha, right, the ultimate halachic value is saving a human life. And since whatever it is that you're doing to a fetus when you abort it is usur, but not murder, whenever you have that clash, and the question is the mother or the mother is always going to win. But the second that the fetus turns into an infant, then the halacha becomes Yaharg Valyavon, as we saw in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. At that moment, the question becomes, whose life is more valuable? And the answer is, we don't enter into discussions about whose life is more valuable. And therefore, we're never going to murder one to save the other. Okay? Thank you. Now, let's go on. There is a long piece in Igros Moshe on this issue, which I put all of it on the sheet just because I didn't have time to redo it. Let's read a little bit of it. Rav Moshe, it's not really a halachic tshuva of Rav Moshe. It's much, much more like learning. But he says, Umimela. Kevan shaleka alav chiyuv hatzala hu chada negad chada v'lachein mistabra d'may chazis d'damad d'chavra yisum ektvei ki d'kosva tosvas. Rav Moshe is dealing with the question of what if you're passive? The thing that Tosfos mentioned. What if what you're doing is causing the death, but you're certainly not a murderer, right? They're just throwing you on the body. So listen to what he says. It's interesting. V'im kein, pashud la niyas daiti. If they force you to basically, you know, do something which isn't murder, but it's going to prevent this person from being saved, okay, somebody falls into a pit. There's a ladder. The ansuhu guy puts a gun to your head and says, you know, pull out the ladder. Now, pulling out a ladder is not murder, but pulling out a ladder in this situation is going to definitely lead to the death of this person. Va'ansu l'salek ha'sulam misham yihyeh hadin de'yehareg va'al yavor. Tosfos says in that case, I'm sorry, Rav Moshe says in that case, that's part of yehareg va'al yavor. You know, why? I'm just pulling out a ladder. How could that be murder? Because the result is the certain death of the other person. Da'av she'no asur v'tzicha mamash. It's obviously not really murder. Mikol makom goreim haveh v'nechshav zetarti. He says you're causing the death, right? I don't know, you know, in civil law, I'm curious. In civil law, I wonder what it means. The guy's in a pit and you pull out the ladder. Could that really be murder? My guess is not. But Rav Moshe says, you know, there's something in between being passive, which Tosfos says is mutter, and doing something which has a maisa, and absolutely is going to lead to the death of the person in the pit. In that case, says Rav Moshe, that becomes yaharg val yavor, and you have to give up your life for it. Which I think means you have to give up your life for something a little broader than the definition of murder, but not for every act that ultimately causes the death of someone. So, for example, you know, if they're gonna drop you in on top of this guy, I think Tosfos or Moshe would say there you're not doing anything, but when they put a gun to your head and say pull out the ladder, that's a maisa, and that maisa can be punished in Beis Din, and that maisa looks suspiciously like, even though it isn't, murder. Okay. Now, Rav Moshe asks one more question. This is the question that I mentioned before. First, you know, let's read this Rambam. There's one Rambam that really kind of summarizes the discussion we've had and may help us put things in perspective. Says the Rambam, source number 10, Yisodei HaTorah, Hey Dalet. Kol mi shenemar bo ya'avor va'al yehareg v'neherag v'lo avar. With respect to a person who was commanded to give up his life, right? Somebody puts a gun to my head and says, kill this other person or I'll kill you. I'm sorry, I read it backwards. Kol mi shenemar bo ya'avor. Somebody puts a gun to my head and says, eat this cheeseburger. If not, I'm going to kill you. The din is, you're supposed to eat the cheeseburger. Says the Rambam, if you're machmir on yourself, Henry, you listening? If you're machmir on yourself and you say, you know what, I'm so frum, I'd rather you kill me than me eating a cheeseburger. The Rambam, and I think the Rambam knew what he was saying. It's a funny phrase. You're dead. Harezem mitchayev benafsho. Says the Rambam, you give your life for nothing. Because the din is, you know, v'chay bohem v'lo shiyamos bohem. We're not a religion that's looking for martyrdom. The din is you're supposed to eat a cheeseburger. Opposite case. This is the case of a guy holding a gun to your head and saying, kill another person. That's a special mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Okay, if you kill the other person and don't allow yourself to be killed, it's a chilul Hashem. That's a chil Hashem barabim. We tell mitzvah taseh shi kiddush Hashem, and you violated the mitzvah taseh of kiddush Hashem. Va'avar mitzvah lo taseh shi chilul Hashem. It's all bad, but here's the key point. Va'af al pikei, nevertheless, mipnei she'avar ba'ones. Right, you killed a person, but you killed him ba'ones, meaning somebody had a gun to your head. There's no greater onus than that, right? How do you translate onus in this context? Somebody. It's the opposite of
free under will. Duress.
Okay, under severe duress. Okay, Valve became a patient of our bonus. Ain malkinoto, the ain sarich lomar she ain mimitinoto, baked in, afilu harg bonus. It's not murder. It's not justified homicide, but it's not murder.
You were coerced. You were
okay,
coerced.
Because you were coerced. So it's interesting. It goes back to our discussion, you know, when Rashi said, well, the reason why you can't kill another person is because, one, you're not saving a life, and two, you're doing an avera, the Rambam would say, whatever avera you're doing, it's not murder. The avera that you're doing is chilul Hashem. The avera that you're doing is you're violating a mitzvah saseh of kiddush Hashem. But you're not a murderer, and what you're doing is not murder. Okay. At the end of that piece, Rav Moshe Feinstein asked the question that a lot of people ask, which is, how come the Rambam doesn't definitively paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Everybody seems to know that that's the halacha, but the Rambam, we don't find it in the Rambam any place that he says we paskin like Rabbi Akiva against Ben Petura. So Rav Moshe has what I think is a brilliant idea. Rav Moshe says, whenever there's a mitzvah, there are two ways you could get out of it. One is, the mitzvah applies to you, but let's say there's an onus. Okay, so you don't have to do the mitzvah. The other is, you know, that's external. The other is, there's something internal about the definition of the mitzvah, which makes it not apply to you. Okay, what's the example? Look at source 11. Here's the Rambam in Hilchos Matnos Anim. We think of it as Hilchos Tzedaka. Says the Rambam, Mitzvat asei liten tzedakola aniyim kifi masher oila ani im haita yad hanotein maseget. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to support poor people, to give the guy as much as he needs, if you have the money. Shenemar pasach tiftach es yad chalo v'nemar v'hechazakta bo gervet hoshavacha imach v'nemar v'chei achicha imach. Says Rav Moshe in the Rambam, if a guy comes to you and says, I need $1 million, you don't have $1 million. The mitzvah doesn't apply to you. It's as simple as that. The mitzvah simply doesn't apply to you. It's not external. It's not that in this case you're potter. In this case, it doesn't apply. Suggests Rav Moshe that that's exactly why the Rambam is silent on our issue. Because the Rambam would say as follows, if you're not saving a life, then the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem doesn't apply. Nothing applies. The whole point of the mitzvah is to save a life. And so what Rav Moshe says, of course the Rambam passed like Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, you know, there's no mitzvah here. There's no reason. The Rambam doesn't need to quote the case of the Gemara of two people are walking and there's only one canteen. And if they share it, you know, of course the Rambam thinks that one person should keep it. Because the Rambam paskens in 10 different places that the most important principle here is saving a life. So when one result is both people die, and another result is one life is saved and one life isn't saved, so then it's obvious that the Rambam paskins that you should not share the canteen. Rather, you who have the canteen should drink it. And the other person, you know, sadly, will not make it. Okay. We did a lot. You know, if we tried to recap, I suppose, we started with the pasuk of v'chei achicha imach, the Gemara, the Machlokos of Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva, about two people walking in the desert. We had a basic Chakira. We saw another Gemara based on the fact that Kitov lo imach means you and your master should share. We asked the question, why does imach in one case mean share, and in our case means chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha? The answer we suggested was when it's possible to share. There's no doubt that if shnai mahalchim baderech, and they share the water, and both of them can live, of course that's going to be the halacha. But if that's not possible, we have to make harsh decisions, which apparently offended a bunch of people who are listening to the shir now. But okay, that's what halacha has to do. We have to make decisions. And the decision is, you know, your life comes first. Okay? Then we went backwards to talk about the general concept of v'chei achicha imach, that, you know, human life is of ultimate value in halacha, and human life is always going to beat out an Isser Torah, except for three unique cases. One of those unique cases is Ritzicha, which brought us back to the issue of abortion, on which people were exceptionally well behaved, to compliment you for that. Okay, we're able to knock it off in 5 minutes just to lay out the general rules. Obviously, you know, there's tons to discuss. And then we came back to, you know, we saw the Shita of Tosfos, that there's a difference between murder and causing death, which is an important distinction in halacha, and maybe the answer to our case, right? You're obviously not murdering the other person by not giving him water. You're not saving him. We saw Rav Moshe Feinstein talk about, you know, in between murder and complete passivity, the case of removing the ladder, which Rav Moshe thinks is close enough to murder to make it Yehar Val Yavar. And then we finish with the Rambam. The interesting fact that the Rambam doesn't paskin this halacha again, even though everybody knows that we paskin the Rabbi Akiva. And the idea that the Rambam doesn't need to paskin it because he doesn't even think there's an issue. Because in the case, you know, if there's no life to be saved, then the mitzvah simply doesn't apply. Just like if you don't have money, it's not that you're putter from the mitzvah tzedakah, it's that it doesn't apply. Okay, hopefully that helped and was interesting and covered more than one parsha. So I was yotzei that way also. Everybody have a great, great Shabbos.
Eli.
Thank you, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.